The message today is entitled, He Will Return, Part 1. Now, I want to explain some things to you this morning. If you're taking notes, you can write it down. But I want to talk to you about the return of Jesus Christ. And it's going to apply to everybody, whether you have heard of this for the first time or have never heard of this, or you've heard about this the 1,000,000th time. But there are several things that are going to happen in our very near future. And so the first thing is the rapture of the church. And what does the rapture mean? It means catching up. Now you got to understand something. The Bible says that there are only two people who have been caught up. It was the prophet Elijah and another man in the Bible, Enosh. And so they never died. They were simply just taken. And the Bible translate that is into catching up, caught up, meaning they just never died. And so there's a reason for that. And the Bible speaks about that, I believe, later on in the last book of Revelation. But when we look at society today and we wonder what is going on in this world, what is happening in this world today? Nations, I mean, for some of you Americans watching online, and we have actually people from all over that watch, for some of you, you may have no idea that the world is on the brink of a major world war. We are truly on the brink of a world war like this world has never seen before. That there are things that are happening in the Middle East, throughout Europe, throughout nations that truly hate the life of Western society. But see, as a Christian, the Bible says that we are not of this world. When the Bible says that when you become a Christian, you have died, you've been reborn again. And so what that means is that you have been adopted into the family of God. You have a new purpose. You are a new creation. The word for those who are in Christ are a new creation. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And so as a Christian, we have a different purpose. We have a different desire now. You know, it's easy. You know what pleases you, but what pleases God? And you say, as a Christian, as someone who says, I follow Jesus, that is the new nature that we receive through the Holy Spirit when we at conversion, when we believe, that we begin to have a desire to what pleases our Father in heaven. Because you know what pleases you. And those things are not necessarily always good either. Many of those things have gotten you into trouble. Many of those things have gotten you to where you are right now, where you're tired of being tired. You're sick and tired of anxiety and depression and fear and anger and lust and whatever it may be. And so he will return. The Bible speaks clearly of Jesus, God in the flesh, who came down a long time ago to pay for the sins of this world. Now, Jesus came. Why? He came to pay for eternal sin. We are all born into this world a sinner. Who has a child, a little newborn baby? Raise your hand if you do. Who has kids? Raise your hand if you've had kids. Okay, now all of you understand this. You do not have to teach a baby to be stingy. You do not have to teach a baby to lie. A baby will naturally cry, be greedy, and will lie to you. I noticed, look, I'm a grandpa. You saw my grandson here a little while ago. And you know, we have a school, a K-4 through 12 school. We're with kids all day. You do not have to teach these little ones to be bad. They are naturally bad. But what you do have to teach children is to tell the truth, to be honest, to be like God. Why? Because we are naturally born a sinner. And when we come to the age of accountability, we have to answer for that sin. But you know what the payment of that sin is? It's death. And that's why God came in the flesh, Jesus Christ, to pay for that penalty of sin for you personally. That if you believe that he died and he rose from the dead and you have repented of your sins and call him Lord and Savior, the Bible says you're saved and you become a new creation and he will baptize you with his Holy Spirit. You know, you were born as a sinner, but now you are righteous in the eyes of God. And now you begin your long journey with the Holy Spirit, with God, with Jesus, to know what it means to live a life a righteous and a holy life in a very dark and chaotic and sinful world, in a very evil world, in a world that you can recognize today is trying to poke a finger in the eye of God. They're trying to redefine everything. Marriage, your gender, you name it. They're trying to redefine everything. And that's not a political thing. I'm not a political preacher. Those are biblical issues. God created man and woman. God created the institution of marriage. It's God who set those things up. But it's people who have a hatred for God and want to redefine these things. But Jesus says he will return. So we look forward to the return of Jesus. It's known as the rapture. Number two, as I begin this series, number two, there is a coming of a false Messiah, a false Christ, known as the Antichrist. He will deceive the whole world to thinking that he is God in the flesh. That is why you see a push worldwide with wickedness and evil towards a one world order, a one world government, because everything that's happening in the world today is centered on bringing everything, religious, military, economics, political, ideology, entertainment, fashion, you name it, food, control of food, everything is geared towards bringing everything to the control of one human being. God is not a master of puppets. When God created you, he gave you free will. God will never force himself upon you. Jesus will never force himself upon you. Jesus says, I stand at the door and I knock. And if anyone will open the door of their heart, Jesus says, I will come in and I will fellowship with you. People go to hell every day because they rejected the invitation of life, which God offers through Jesus. God created hell for Satan and fallen angels. The Bible says he never created it for a human being. God will always honor what you want in life. If you chose to live a life on this earth having nothing to do with him, it would be so unfair of God that when you go into eternity, and you will, for him to take you and force you to live with him in heaven when you had nothing to want to do with him on the earth, he will honor what you've always wanted. Now think about that. He will return. Number one, the rapture. Jesus will come. The Bible speaks that he will come down upon the earth. And we are going to read this in just a moment. Scripture, Bible. Number two, he will take the Christians all over the world. They will supernaturally disappear. And I want you to remember this. I want you to understand this. This phone that we have right here. Let me tell you this. And mark my word on this. For those who do not believe, but yet you find yourself watching. Everything that happens in this world can go viral. And so what happens when an untold number of Christians throughout the world will suddenly just disappear? It's going to be caught on camera. And I want you to remember that. It's going to be caught on camera. But then there's going to come someone upon the face of this world that's going to rise up and it's going to say, I have an explanation to why these people disappeared. And all of these theologies and all of these conspiracy theories that have been floating throughout the world for years, fear, UFOs, extraterrestrial life, we're evolving from a frog to a caveman to a human, and now we're evolving into something else. So that's why those people just couldn't hang with the evolution that's coming. Climate change, it's a part of climate change. All of this stuff is lies, but it's going to take part. And the great lie of what this man will tell the world, why an untold number of people suddenly disappeared. That will be the arrival of the final Antichrist, a false Messiah. And number three, that I will cover in this series, number three, will be the return of Jesus. The rapture of the church and the return of Jesus are not the same thing. Now look, read in Acts 1:11. This is the part in the Bible where Jesus died, he rose from the dead, and he's ascending back to heaven. And it says here, two angels are standing by. They said, men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken away from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. One day, the human eye that saw him go will see him come back. He will return. Jesus. Matthew 24, 23 through 27 says this. Jesus says this of himself. Jesus is speaking in context of this chapter. He's speaking about end times. He says, Jesus says, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the church, the elect. Verse 25, Jesus says, see, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he's in the desert, do not go out. Look, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus is saying, I will return. Jesus is saying, I will return. There's going to be a lot of people. For the past 2,000 years, we've been in the church age. Now, you got to understand something. The world is all about ages, okay? The age of the Garden of Eden. The age of Noah's flood. The age of the Old Testament. And for the past 2,000 years, we are in the age of the church. For the past 2,000 years. I'm not talking about the Catholic Church. I'm not talking about the Baptists. I'm not talking about the Pentecostals. I'm talking about the church of Jesus Christ. You've been purchased by the blood of the Lamb. You've been filled with the power of God, with the Holy Spirit of God. That's what I'm talking about. Religion will not save you. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that will save you. Amen. You don't believe in God? Look out in that world. You tell me there's no devil? The evil that's happening in this world? You tell me there's no God? Look at the evil in this world. What did I tell you in the beginning? God is not a master of puppets. God will never force himself on you. God, he came on the cross. He spread his arms. He said, I love you. This is what I'll do for you. But you must decide. You must make a decision. Draw near unto me and I shall draw near unto you, saith the Lord God Almighty. We must make a decision about this Jesus. He is either a liar, or is he a lunatic, or did Jesus tell the truth? I believe Jesus told the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen. And the whole world is going to find out one day this truth about Jesus. Why is it? Why is it that for thousands of years, emperors, kings, queens, communism, you name it, socialism, it has tried to destroy the written word of God, tried to destroy the Bible, and yet they're all dead, and the word of God still remains. Why is this? Because there's something supernatural about this book, about this Jesus. It will not die away. It will not go away. I heard some liberal one time say, well, I wish this Jesus stuff would just go away. You know, for the most part, you look at what happens when God is absent from the scene. When this nation started, this nation that I love, it was not started with good things. I mean, there was some bad stuff happening when this nation began. There was slavery. There was a lot of injustice that was going on. But God works, always has and always will to the very end. God works through injustices. God works through all of our mess that we create, where he says, I love you. I'm here for you. I have a plan for you. God will not abandon you as long as there is breath in you. Understand that. God's not mad at you. He knows your failures. He knows your weaknesses. He knows what you've been going through. Are you tired? Jesus says, I will return. And so in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, this man by the name of Paul, who once was killing Christians in biblical days, had an encounter with Christ and became a Christian. And he went on to write 13 books of the New Testament. It's like a modern day Osama bin Laden all of a sudden becoming a Christian. This is what happened with the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul writes this in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. He says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, he says, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. You know, we go to a Christian funeral. Now we're sad, but we rejoice because we'll see them again. Christian. Amen? Paul says, I want you to have hope. I want you to remember, Christian, that death has no stranglehold on you. because you died to sin and you're alive to Christ. And he says in verse 14, he says, for since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord, that we who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. I want to encourage you this morning. I want to tell you that one day Christ will say, it is time to judge the earth for its wickedness. Before I do that, I'm getting my people out of the earth. Remember Noah's flood? What did God tell Noah? Noah was the only righteous man on the face of the earth. Him, his wife, his three sons, and their three wives. They were the only people on the face of the earth that were righteous. And the Bible says that God tells Noah, build an ark. And in many years, I'm going to flood and destroy this whole world. Why? Because everybody's wicked. God can destroy this world because God created this world. Amen. He did not create evil. He created the world. And God is about rescuing. He is about warning. Look, some of you online, somebody in this room, you may be on your last warning. You may be on your last leg. Tonight, God may say, it's time for you to breathe your last breath. It's time to step into eternity. I've known many people in my life that were young and strong, and they breathed their last and they stepped into eternity. I have prayed these hands. I have held hands with people who have murdered their wives, who have murdered their little children. And I held hands with them, and they were in the darkest depths that Satan ever had. And they looked at me in my face, in my eyes, and they said, tell me about this, Jesus. The devil is real. The devil is alive. But he has no power for those who call on Jesus. I'm telling you. And you better get real about this Jesus, because the devil is real about you. And the only way you can live and testify is in the power of Jesus. And that's why I'm alive today. That's why I'm still standing. Because of Jesus. One day you will have your day of evil. One day you will come face to face with the kingdom of Satan. And what will you do if it's not in the power of Jesus? You think you've gone through bad times? You haven't seen anything yet what is about to come upon the face of this earth. I want to encourage you that though the world is saying peace and safety and destruction, while the world is getting ready for war, while the world is in chaos, God is on his throne and God is preparing a place for his people. I love America. I love Texas even more. Amen. Amen. Come on now. Yes. Can you tell I'm Texas? I'm loud and proud. But my heart is in heaven. Yes. My treasures are in heaven. Yes. Amen. Amen. And no devil can steal those things, because they are guarded by the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says here, he's going to come. All those Christians who died are in the grave. They're going to break open what we just read. And they're going to meet the Lord in the air. What did the angel tell those men of Galilee? Why are you staring into heaven? The way he's left, he's coming back. And I'm telling you, he's coming. Look, let's read this. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 11. It says, now concerning how, when all this will happen, Paul says, dear brothers and sisters, we don't really need to write to you. For you know quite well that the Lord's return, the day of the Lord's return, will come unexpectedly like a thief in the night. Whoa. It's going to happen when you don't even expect it. Has anyone ever had their car broken into? Has anyone ever had their house broken into? Have you ever broken into a house? Somebody might say, oh yeah, I did that. You ever broken it? I talked to these guys in prison. I had 5 years of prison ministry, not because I was in prison, but I was in there. And I told these guys, it's easy to do wrong. And they're like, oh, yeah, man. I mean, these guys are experts. They're sitting in jail trying to figure out how to, when they get back out, how to do it for where they don't get caught again. So they just sit in jail trying to figure out how to perfect their crimes. And some of them never learn because they end up back in jail 2 months after they got first let out. And they said, man, it's easy, man, to steal a car. You know how easy it is now. And you don't know how easy it is to just take from somebody. And Jesus says, I will come like a thief in the night. Verse 3, Paul says that when people are saying everything is peaceful and secure, then disaster will fall on them as suddenly as pregnant women's labor pain, and there will be no escape. Now, I want to tell you this right now. Since World War II, we have seen, I want you to do this. Go to Google, YouTube, and I want you to type peace and safety, world leaders. And you will find videos that will pop up. Watch this. And there will be a collage of videos of world leaders from the past 20 years that have been shouting peace and safety, peace and safety, peace and safety. And the Bible says here almost 2,000 years ago, Paul wrote, read verse 3 again. When people are saying everything is peaceful and secure, then disaster will fall on them suddenly as great pregnant woman labor pain, and there will be no escape. There will be no escape from this. What is it? What am I saying? Said this is a prophecy that has already been fulfilled. Leaders in the world have been calling for peace and safety for many years now. The same words that the Bible said 2,000 years ago. You're seeing it happen in our real time. Why? Because the Bible tells us the truth. God is about a God of warning. God is warning you before disaster comes. More deeply, God is warning you before His judgment comes. God does not want you to fall under His judgment because that, my friend, is eternal. But God desires that you be saved, that you experience the plan of salvation, forgiveness of your sin, repentance of your sin. What got you into trouble? Your sin. What get you out of trouble? Jesus. Verse 4 says this. He says to the Christian, but you are not in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters, and you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. For you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to the darkness and night. He's speaking in spiritual terms here. Verse 6, he says, so be on your guard, not asleep like the others. Stay alert and be clear-headed. Night is the time when people sleep and drinkers get drunk. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. For God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out His anger on us. Christ died for us so that we, whether we are dead or alive, when He returns, we can live with Him forever. So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. 1 Thessalonians 2:3 says this, don't be fooled by what people say. For that day will not come until there is a great rebellion against God and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the one who brings destruction. There are two things that will happen before the rapture of the church. Number one, there will be a great rebellion against God. In the other Bible translation, it says the apostasy. What does it mean? A falling away. Many, many churches today in America do not preach the Bible. They do not preach biblical doctrine. Many churches today are all about numbers. They will not give you the Word of God because the Word of God challenges you. The Word of God brings you front and center of what do I do with this Jesus? Do I let Him in just on Sunday or do I let Jesus in every day? That's what the pure gospel teaches. And a lot of people in America, we are a fast food society. We want it quick. We want it fast. We want to get that fast. We want to do that fast. And you cannot do that with Jesus. And so therefore, there are so many people in this world, and believe me, I know, okay, I'm telling you, there are so many people in the church today, they have programs and agendas to build churches up because they're really building their kingdoms and not the kingdom of God. And so if you really, really want to escape hellfire, and you really, when you, think about it, you know, I see some young people here. No, not you, Bogdan. Not you. No. Sorry. I see some young people here. It's really hard for you to hear what I'm saying because you're just barely beginning to live. You can't think possibly about death and one day stepping into eternity. One day, my mom and daddy are right back there. They'll tell you. I used to have long hair, played in a heavy metal band. I was awesome, right? Had holes in my pants. I was in the 80s. I was an 80s kid. That was the greatest generation, I think. Oh, my goodness. We knew what music was. Everybody would sing, you know? Everybody in the band would sing. Now we got all these auto-tuned and people lip-syncing stuff, programs. I'm like, oh, come on. I, too, was young. And now I'm losing all my hair and going gray. You are going to get older. If the Lord tarries and doesn't come for you, you are going to get older. You are going to slow down. You are going to not be as loud as you used to be. And you are going to start saying, you know what, this ain't for me. It's hard for someone young to say, oh, man, I got plenty of time. I'm going to tell you something. I've known so many young people that died prematurely. This message is whether you're young or old. What are you going to do with Jesus? And the life of strength, when you had your strength, when you had your vigor, when you had your joy, when you were ready to do something. I mean, you look at people today. I look at young people today. You know, I have a high school class, and I look at them, and these kids love the Lord. They go to different churches, but they love the Lord. And I look, and I tell them, would you like to go to public high school? They're like, no, I ain't going over there. Why? Because they know what's happening. They know what's going on. And sadly, there are so many young people, they don't know what's going on. They don't know what's there to destroy them. Jesus is coming. There is a great rebellion that is happening in the world. It's been going on. And that is evidence. Look, 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Let's read that again, please. Don't be fooled by what they say. For that day, the coming of the rapture will not come until there is a great rebellion. It's happening now, guys. Look at the world. And the man of lawlessness is revealed. Who is that? I'm telling you right now, the Church of Jesus Christ will witness the arrival of the final Antichrist. Go back and look at how Hitler spoke in World War II into Germany. Look at those videos. Listen to what he was saying. I mean, the words are interpreted on the bottom screen if you do the captions. Look at what he said. Today you would be like, how can that be accepted? But look at those videos. History, people can learn from history, but sadly our generation doesn't want to have anything to do with history. They think, oh, the Bible's history. Let's get rid of that. Well, all these, the Civil War, World War I and II, let's get rid of that. We don't want to hear about that. Slavery, we don't want to hear about all that stuff. We should learn from those things. There have been people on this earth that have been speaking evil, vile things. And when they say it, they can induce mental illness on a nation. And that is what is happening in America. Mental illness is being introduced by wicked people, and people are accepting it. You think what Hitler said? You got people on board with him to annihilate millions and millions of people in gas chambers? How did that happen? It happened gradually, but it happened. And how is it going to happen today? It's happening gradually. If you say anything from a Christian's point of view, it's taken as racism. It's taken as hatred, hate speech. Why is that? The world doesn't have anything when you speak about the things of Allah, about the things of Buddha, or about any other religion. The world will not say anything negative about that. But why about this Jesus Christ only? Why is it that the Pentagon, they will not allow a Christian to be in the prayer room, but they allow all of the religions in there? That's a fact. Look it up. Why is that? Because our nation, many years ago, said, we don't want prayer in the classroom anymore in 1962. And so when God was excused out of the classroom, Now, today, what do we have in the classrooms? Murder, mass shootings, sexual diseases, suicides. Why? Because the old generation of 60s said, we don't want this Jesus anymore. But before it left the classroom, it left their hearts. And that is what we have today, a people that says, Jesus says, you honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. And you can't fool God. You can fool your mama, your daddy, your pastor, your teacher, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your husband, your wife. You can fool all of them people, but you cannot fool Jesus Christ. He will return. He knows your heart. If it's set on wickedness, he will reward you. If it's set on his kingdom and his righteousness, he will reward you. Second Peter 3:3-13 says this. Peter says that this is the one who denied Jesus three times. It says, most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days, are we in the last days? Amen, church. Peter says, I want to remind you that in the last days, scoffers will come mocking the truth and following their own desires. Is that what we happen today in the world? The Bible teaches us, if you are a student of the Word of God, the Bible tells you we are in the last days. Actually, we're actually in the last hours. We're not in the last days, we're in the last hours. And this scripture speaks of the last days, that people will come and mock the Bible, mock the truth of God, and they will follow their own desires. People do what they want to do with their bodies. God made you perfect. God made you a man or a woman. He made you perfect. Now, I'm not at battle with anybody who is homosexual or they want to re-identify their genderism. I truly love them. I do, because I too once was a sinner. And we have to learn as Christians to love people to the cross of Jesus. But I'm telling you, this is the fact. People like to get high on drugs. People, that they think that they're taking a natural drug and it's fentanyl and this. My nephew died. I had to have his funeral here a couple years ago because he was taking some drugs and it was laced with fentanyl. And that one time, that's it. And where's that coming from, by the way? China. And who's at war with us today? China. AT&T went down a couple weeks ago. Why? Hackers, why? It's the beginning of world war. I'm telling you. In our very near future, nuclear bombs will be going off. I'm sure glad that my hope is in Jesus and his kingdom, not America. I love this nation, but I will tell you, this nation is lost and broken because they've made their decision to abandon God. I'm preaching in a nation that I love with all my heart. To this day, I hear the Star Spangled Banner and I cry. Why? Because I grew up with a generation that knew what it meant to have freedom and not take it for granted. And the generation of today, they take it for granted. And because they take it for granted, it will be taken from them. And I tell you, I could be wrong, but I really believe I'm right. Those who are alive in this generation of America, this nation will fall. I'm telling you. The United States of America will fall. There will be civil war in this nation. And it's all going to be aimed towards the hatred of Christians. Remember this and mark my words. But if you call on Jesus, you shall be saved. And I'm not talking saved from murder or death. I'm talking about saved in your spirit. Because that's what is important. Man could kill me. They can walk in right now and shoot me for preaching the word of Jesus. But I'm going to live forever. Why? Because my soul is in the hands of Jesus. Amen. And I've made that decision many years ago to pass down to the next generation, to my grandson. If I leave, what did his grandpa leave behind him that could benefit his life? You see, your life as a Christian, it's not about you. Your life as a Christian, it's about others. And until then, you'll always be selfish. You'll always be greedy. You'll always be corrupt. Your life as a Christian is about others. Jesus said himself, I came to serve, not to be served. That is true biblical Christianity. And that is not preached in the churches today in America. It's all about you. But when we come to the cross, it's all about the Lord. I don't have to worry about anything because my fate is sealed in heaven. And one day you may, Christian, in America, we may have to answer that with our very own blood, as Christ had to do that with his blood. I pray the rapture comes. I pray that we are just caught up in the air and taken. Look at this, verse 4. These scoffers will say, what happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again? From the times of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world was first created. They deliberately forget that God made the heavens long ago by the word of his command, and he brought the earth out from the water and surrounded it with water. Then he used the water to destroy the ancient world with a mighty flood. And by the same word, the present heavens and the earth have been stored up for fire. You know, I think it's funny that this word Bible says fire, because we have all the God haters in the world saying global climate's coming. We're going to go into a global climate. It's going to get hot in this world. They have no idea what kind of fire is coming, guys. Amen. They have no idea. Through their foolishness and ignorance, they're speaking the thing of God that's coming. Look, they are being kept for the day of judgment when ungodly people will be destroyed. But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to be deserving of judgment. And since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly life should you live? You should look forward to the day of God and hurry it along. On that day, he will set the heavens on fire and the elements will melt away in the flames. But we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, as he has promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. There's a new heaven and a new earth that's coming. Why? Because this world, which God has created, has run its course. And my last scripture for today, Revelation 3, 10 through 11. Jesus says to the church, because you have kept my command to persevere. This is a prophetic word. I will also keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. That's Jesus talking in the last Bible of the book of the Bible. Because you kept the command to live for God as God lived for you. Jesus says, I will keep you from that hour. That's why I said we're not in the last days. We're in the last hours. You see that? We're in the last hour. I will keep you from the last hour, meaning I'm going to come and take you. As God took Noah and his family and saved them through the flood, God is going to do that for the Christians worldwide. He's going to take you from that last hour that shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Why is it that the Christian doesn't have to be tested? Because we're already going through the test. We're already being tested in our faith in a dark and sinful world already. And so when that final hour comes, the Lord says, you come with me. I will keep you from that. I'm telling you. And Jesus says this in verse 11, behold, I am coming quickly, says Jesus. Hold fast to what you have, that no one may take. Look at that, your crown. There are people in this world who are Christians, and they have crown of life. And there are people who are not Christians in this world, they have no crown. They have no glory. They have no royalty. We, the Christian, we are part of a royal priesthood. We are part of a holy nation. But I'm telling you, on the authority of the Word of God, the world is about to be shaken once again. My grandfather, as I close, my grandfather was born in 1912, a long time ago. He died when I was 16 years old. But he was born in 1912. And my grandfather I love baseball. I played baseball all my life. And he would tell me stories about when the Depression happened in the 1930s. When he'd tell me about how people would just walk from here to there looking for a job. He said it was horrible. And then he told me about when World War II, when Pearl Harbor got attacked. He told me about that. And I listened to him, and he said, you know, everybody was so angry, and that they all went to the recruiter's office in December 8th, 1941. Everybody, all these young guys, they all went to the recruiter's office. They were all signing up to join because they had entered into World War II. He said everybody took part. Women went into work in the factories, and little children were out selling war bonds. They were raising money because they saw this Hitler. They saw this Japanese Empire as something that was coming against their way of life. But we don't have a generation like that today. Our generation today is all about immorality and lust and filth. We're all about, you know, and I'm not judging anybody, but I'm telling you, just look. Look at all the reality shows we have on TV. Why? Because that's all idolatry. It's all about wanting to look at us and not look to Jesus. But Jesus is coming. Jesus is returning. And what will we do? This is part one, and we say that in Jesus' name. Amen. Give God praise in this house. Amen. He's worthy to be praised. Amen. He's worthy to be praised.